Get snacking and get cracking with a snack that packs a protein punch. Pistachios are known for their protein power, fiber, and better-for-you unsaturated fats for a combination that may help you keep feeling fuller longer. Wonderful Pistachios is a good source of protein with zero guilt. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. I love that they come in a variety of sizes and flavors, making this the perfect protein snack for any on-the-go adventure. Check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Flow Track Podcast. I am Kevin. He is Gordon. We are talking NCAAs on today's pod. Also, recap some of the other big news in the running world from over the weekend. Gordon, good afternoon. How are you doing? Happy Monday.
I'm doing great. It's a great Monday. I'm tired. It was a long 4 days because track meet was like ending at 11 o'clock, and then we're not out there till 1. We had some great late night meals at like 1 a.m. It was a good time.
Not many restaurants open in the Austin area at 1 in the morning.
On a Sunday.
Yeah. Correct.
So we got some good old fast food.
Yes, we did.
I tried my best to eat a healthy Taco Bell meal. It was very hard. And my strategy was like, not beef, do steak. Because steak is more healthy than beef.
I don't know about that.
I gotta imagine that Taco Bell steak is just a little bit better than Taco Bell beef.
I'll say this. You did a good job. You showed a lot of restraint because it was late at night. The line was long. Well, the line was so long by the time you get up there. It's just like, all right, I want to make it worth it. I've been sitting here for 20, 30 minutes. But the days were long. Meet's not starting until 8. Good for the athletes because the weather was much better. It would not have been a pretty picture, especially on Saturday. It got super hot. So we'll talk about all that. Gordon is manning the YouTube feed. So if you got comments, throw them in there. Gordon's going to do his best to read just a select few, though. Not that many, just a slight few. Are people in the chat already or no? We have many in the chat?
I think there are. I don't know. I need to refresh my feed.
Gordon is refreshing his feed.
There's people in the chat.
There's people. Confirmed. There are people in the chat. Are they talking track?
They're talking track.
Okay, good. Then they came to the right place. They didn't go to the wrong feed. They didn't start talking, you know, baseball, soccer.
No.
Before we go any further, though, I want to mention the pod is sponsored by Tracksmith. That's right. Independent running brand inspired by a deep love of the sport. Gordon is demoing the Elliott Runners for those of you watching on YouTube or on the site. The website is tracksmith.com. Remember, this is the first foray into footwear. They've had the apparel. We're also wearing the apparel. Your shirt, high quality. My shirt, high quality.
My shirt, very smelly.
But that doesn't have anything to do with Tracksmith.
No.
That has to do with the fact that you didn't wash it
because I like it so much. Because I wore it on the podcast on Saturday.
Exactly.
And I didn't have time. And I did a workout in the Tracksmith shirt.
You did?
In the Tracksmith shoes.
Oof, look at you.
I did some box jumps.
You went back to the well on box jumps.
I went back to the well in the box jumps.
Well, you had a little extra lift here.
I did.
With these guys. Remember, 9 millimeter drop, 33.5 millimeter stack height on these guys. Very comfy. I wore them the last couple days of NCAAs. Again, the website, tracksmith.com. These are the Elliott Runners that Gordon has put up on the
I'm going to be desk. Honest, Kevin. Stack height. Shoe terminology goes right over my head.
Well, hold on. I'm going to be
what
honest.
What does stack height even mean?
This right
Can
here.
You tell me?
Here to here.
So here to here?
Here to
so
here.
The sole? Yeah. The heel.
Heel.
The heel height. Why
I'm going
to call it the heel.
Yeah, so I'm going to give you a compliment here. You have kept these in really good condition because you've been wearing these pretty much every day.
Yeah. Except for right now.
Yeah.
I'm shoeless well,
you,
right now.
Yeah, you take them. Yeah, Gordon has no shoes on. He literally took off the Elliott Runners and put them onto the desk. But they are in really good condition considering how much you've worn them. We thank them for sponsoring the pod. Let's get into the show. You gonna lead this one?
Oh, I'm going to lead this one.
Yeah.
I'm going to lead this
I'm
one.
I'm computerless still.
Yeah, you don't have a computer.
Hoping it gets revived right after this
I kinda pod. I kind of like computerless Kevin.
it is liberating in one sense, but I also feel very, you know, I'm walking on a tightrope without a net. I don't have any of my stats to rely on.
You start trying to turn your phone into a computer and you realize it ain't built for that.
Right. So I have to
Google
be real.
Doc on a phone.
So when
the
you
same.
Throw out random stuff like, oh yeah, what did that person run in the semis? I don't know,
you
man.
Don't know.
There's no possible way I'd be able to conjure up that information immediately. So I'll let you run point.
Naturally, we recap the men's finals.
We're not talking men, are we?
No.
Okay.
We recap the men's finals, but the headline was the Paris Diamond League because of all the world
records.
You know,
a Saturday show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But today's podcast, the headline again is going to be not the women's races, but it's going to be Sha'Carri Richardson, who in Florida, in the low-key sprint, Star Athletics Sprint Series in Florida, she runs 10.73, wind-aided, 2.6 win. But 10.73, I mean, Julian Alford ran, what, 10.72?
There you go again with the stats.
Yeah, so basically the similar time to what won NCAAs. But Sha'Carri Richardson, she is now undefeated mm-hmm. in the 100 meters.
She's still undefeated.
Still undefeated. She has won, do you know how many races she's won in a row?
Are we counting prelims?
Yeah, we're counting prelims. Come on.
Prelims and finals, I'm going to say 7-0. Was there a prelim to this race?
There was a prelim to this race.
Oh, maybe she's at 8-0. We're counting her 200s too?
No, because she's lost the 200.
Oh, that's right. Then not. It was 5-0. I'll say 5-0.
No, she's 6-0.
Oh, I was off by one.
6-0 because she scratched LA Grand Prix final.
Okay.
6-0. So she's run now 10.75, 10.57, 10.76, 10.90. She ran, I believe, in this prelim. What did she run? The prelim? She runs 10.73 here. And then in the prelim, I should have had that on my... I didn't come prepared.
Mm.
But you know what I mean. She ran
11.06. So that was Tyler beat you. Shout out to Tyler, by the way, producing.
So
that was way more on top of this than you are.
So she's 6-0. Only one time has been over 11 seconds.
Yeah.
She's showing consistency. That's the big thing about Sha'Carri Richardson is consistency. She can have a flash in the pan moment and then have a weird loss that no one saw coming, especially at the USA championship level. But right now, 6-for-6, all mostly sub-11.
Yeah.
You got to think this consistency should continue into July and ultimately into Budapest.
Yeah. Well, you don't know, but it's a great start to the season and another good result. You look at the field, it's a field that she should be able to win against. And,
well, every
and
she field she should that. Be able to win against.
Well, if she loses to Jackson, for example,
okay,
at this
sure.
point. I know she's beaten Jackson, but if she loses to her, a little different. Hobbs, Talu, like there's a group out there that you'd – and obviously if Fraser Price and Thompson Ra are racing, they would be favorites against her based on history. But, yeah, 10.73, even if it's wind-aided – is a good performance, and a victory is key at this point in the season. So this doesn't change anything for me in terms of my outlook about her. She has basically a perfect start to the season, almost perfect start to the season, and this continues. And now we're down to 3 weeks basically before USA's, and that's going to be the true test, trying to get top three there.
I will say this, though. There's another runner out there who's run 10.87 legal, 10.86 legal, 11.04 legal, 10.93 legal, 10.99 legal, 10.95 legal, with five of them being wins and one of them being a second place finish in a heat. That's Aaliyah Hobbs.
Hobbs, yeah.
Hobbs has been also consistent. Not as consistent with the faster times, like because Sha'Carri's running the 10.7, she has a 10.5, but it's going to be consistent Aaliyah Hobbs versus now consistent
Richardson.
Richardson.
Yeah.
It's the battle of the consistents.
The constants.
We can call constants.
Yeah.
The constants.
Yeah. No, I think it's those two.
Like if you're the meat promoter, you're going to like battle of the consistents.
I don't think
it's going to sell.
That's
any
why you have no job as a meat promoter. I think it's going to be those two.
Yeah.
And there's 3 weeks to go. I don't think anything's going to change in those 3 weeks. We might see one more race from some of these
athletes.
Maybe
in New York.
Yeah. But unless, even if someone suffers a loss there, I think we would say, all right, well, are you going to take that one race? You're going to look at the six races before where they ran really well. I think it's going to go into USA's, these two being the favorites.
Yeah. So, but I wouldn't be surprised if Hobbs upsets Sha'Carri.
Yeah, I think the name of the game here is top three.
Yeah.
Name of the game, top
Sha'Carri's
three.
Sha'Carri's getting top
three
for
then sure. Then get to Budapest and then.
And then go up against someone named Julian Alford, who was the star of NCAAs this weekend. Let's go through that meet. We thought there was going to be a lot of stars. We thought there was going to be a lot of impressive doubles. We thought there was going to be like who – it's going to be confusing of who's going to be the star of the meet. But it actually was pretty easy to find out who the star of the meet. And it was Julian Alfred, because it started off with the women's 4x100 where they didn't run the collegiate record, but they still destroyed everyone. They ran second time all time to their prelim time.
Right.
And what was their official time in that? Yeah, they ran 41.60, 0.05 off of their – collegiate record, which they ran 48 hours prior, destroys everyone by almost a second. You winning a 4x1 relay by almost a second is very hard to do, especially at the NCAA championship level.
It was a dream team that they had put together, and you had Alfred, who's awesome in the 100 and 200, but also collegiate record holder in the 60, and then you have Edeleke, who's now number two all-time in the quarter, also a good 200-meter runner. Just, you had just a perfect storm for Texas. And technically, I thought they were really sharp in both the prelim and the final. Yeah, they ran the prelim like a final, though. So it didn't surprise me that that mark was a little bit out of reach. But yeah, 41.6 to 42.46, that's incredible.
Yeah, Texas's relay team was – oh, it's not even listed here. Who's on the relay team? The results don't have Texas's relay team noted. That's weird.
Well, look at the prelim. I think the same thing as the prelim. I think Alfred was first, and then we had Kavona Davis anchored, right? And then Edeleke was on third leg. Was it Ebba on? Listen, it was kind of – they had like four people. They went 1 through 4 in their prelim heat in the 100. Not all of them qualified to the final, but you had a pretty clear cut top four.
It was Alfred to Ebba.
Ebba, yeah.
To Edeleke to Davis.
Davis, yeah.
That was the order.
But like that's – that's a ridiculously stacked team if you're talking about – because go to the 100 results real quick, the 100 prelim results. Because I know that they didn't actually get four to the final, but, like, they had four in the top – what it was, top 10 times there, the Texas women, when you look at them all together?
Yeah.
I mean, just absurd. Of course they're going
to – or they had four of the top 12.
Okay. So they had one-third of the fastest
12
women in the nation, and one of them was the fastest by far.
But
– that's absurd depth.
One of those runners wasn't even on the 4x1.
Yeah.
Lynnae Thomas, she wasn't even on the
4x1. My point being, they had the option. Coach Flo was able to choose.
They could have done a 4x, they could have done a 5x1.
Yeah, yeah.
Which could be a new event for the teams that are really deep. We start doing 5x1s.
Yeah, just keep going.
Just keep on adding.
Go around the curve
keep
again.
Keep going until you run out of athletes.
Yeah. But yeah, great start to the meet for Texas. Wasn't unexpected at all.
Yeah, once that happened, you realize, because that sets the tone, right?
Well, if Texas was going to – if we're talking team scores?
Yeah.
If something's going to go wrong, a great place for it to go wrong
is the 4x1.
Traditionally is the 4x1. Now, it can go wrong later on with injuries and false starts, but a 4x1 has a baton involved, and there's the baton that needs to move around the track. It needs to get through the zone. So that looked like it would be a good candidate if it was going to be a bad day for Texas, and it was not a bad day for Texas.
So obviously there was three main stars we were tracking, Julian Alfred with her double attempt, Caitlin Tuohy with her double attempt, and Britton Wilson. So the second event, we got excited. Caitlin Tuohy, how's this double attempt going to go? She's going to try to do the 15-5K, and I don't think any of us saw the result that unfolded. Caitlin Tuohy, she strategically decided to make an honest effort. She went right to the front. Mm-hmm. She tried to thin it out, but she wasn't able to pull away from the field. And it wasn't. And while she looked like she was running like 4:05 pace, I guess she was in the beginning, mm-hmm. but then slowed it down mid-race, let the entire field back into it, and then she just did not have the wheels to close with the Oregon duo, with Ramsden, who ultimately won.
Yeah.
But Caitlin Tuohy falls all the way down to 7th. You could argue maybe she could have gotten 4th or 5th if she ran to the line, because she kind of pulled up in the final 5 meters a bit. But ultimately, it wasn't Tui's day, and it was kind of shocking. Caitlin Tuohy, mile record holder.
Mm-hmm.
We think she could probably run in a sub 4:05 range.
Yeah.
But Maya Ramsden, the sophomore out of Harvard, gets the win. I guess let's first talk about Tuohy. What are your thoughts on Tui's 1500 meter performance?
I thought she deserves a lot of credit for going for it, because it did look like that was the best way for her to win, based on how many women were in that 408, 409 range this year and not want it to go slow and not want it to come down to a kick. So I thought strategically it was smart. I thought she had the potential to break the field. it, and she did have a gap at one point. Like she was, you know, 5-10 meters up on the field. And then you're right.
More five. She was like,
it started to stay steady. And then little by little, the other women caught up to her to the point where with 100 or 150 to go, Ramsden was ready to make a move. Ramsden was on fire this weekend, PR'd in the semis and then PR'd again. Maybe if she lays back, she could get second or third. Like she can certainly run 409.
Yeah.
408. Like she's run faster than that. So it was a situation where she was going ultimately for the win. She wasn't going for second place or third place. So perhaps she could have gotten second or third if she ran it differently, but that wasn't her best path to victory. You know, I don't know. Did the heat have an impact? We saw her in the semi. Like she didn't win her semi. And I don't know. I guess ultimately was that foreshadowing what would happen in the final? I'm not sure. She finished a little far back, like that last 50 or last 100. I think she felt – actually, I don't want to say what she thought because that's – I'm not going to put words in her mouth. But I think a lot of people felt like her best way to win was this way. Like it wasn't going to be final 200 who has the best kick. Like she had to go from farther out. And that's exactly what she did. And she went from basically 1,500 meters out. Like she didn't waste any time. It was very clear what her strategy was.
I mean, I honestly just chalk it up to she had a bad day. Well, like, I don't think there's any. She didn't make a strategic error. She did what she was supposed to do. I don't think she's hurt. I think she's healthy enough. I think it was just straight up just a bad day, which happens. You can't be perfect every single time you're out there. People have bad races. It's unfortunate that her bad race happened to be on the weekend that is an NCAA championship and not like Raleigh relays or some random invitational where it's like, all right, bad day. You know, so the timing isn't perfect for her, but you know, she was trying to do something that's never been done before, and you gotta give her at least credit for at least attempting it.
Oh, 100%.
And then, you know, but also credit to Maya Ramsden, who no one had her on the heat map of potential NCAA champions, and for her to get the victory was very impressive. I did notice though, Caitlin Tui didn't stop for the media, and then ultimately she scratched the 5K. So. Yeah. There was a quote from the coach to a reporter said that she didn't feel good after the 1500 and they felt it was in the best interest for her to not run the 5K. And which made, at the end of the day, like Caitlin Tui was trying to win both. She wasn't trying to like get fourth, get two All-American finishes. So if she knew that she wasn't 100% to win the 5K, she was like, I've won many titles. I don't need to.
The turnaround was pretty tight.
Yeah.
And it's tough to bounce back from that in the amount of time that you need to bounce back from. I mean, we've had this double before. Sheila Reid did this double, but it wasn't the same. It wasn't on the same day.
Yeah, Maya Ramsden finished 18th in that 5K.
Right.
After winning the 15.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and she was super pumped and, you know, very, very exciting to see the surprise winner. I just think the fact that the women's field was so deep made – her make a choice of, okay, I gotta go from farther out.
Yeah.
Right? If the field wasn't as strong, wasn't as solid, maybe you can lay back a little bit and then try to close. But I'm with you. Yeah. I mean, great runners can have off days, and your off day can just be you're off by a little bit, but the margin for error is so small that it can take you from potentially winning a double to not getting not finishing in the top five. So yeah, surprising result for sure. We both predicted that she would get the double, but I think she'll bounce back for USA's. She'll probably run the 5,000 at USA's and run really well. I think she has the potential to go sub 15 this year as well.
Yeah, and I did see her when in the cool down area or like this recovery area. She did like walk along all the athletes and shake everyone's hand. She's like, good race. Which was cool.
Well, and Ramsden, like I said, just PR, back to back, just caught lightning in a bottle. I mean, it was a good weekend for Harvard distance all around with blanks in the men's 5,000. And she just ran a really tactically sound, savvy race.
Close in 63.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and she looked great in the semis as well, too.
Yeah. And then Oregon putting two in the top four.
Yeah. Thornton Bott and what was it?
Ooh, can you say that word?
Kaz Mariska. And then they had a... Yeah, well, they had
three.
Elmore
finished 10th. Two of them are freshmen too. We asked the Oregon women how their training is. If it's Jerry, it's Shalane, and they said it's mainly. I mean, Jerry can give input, but at the end of the day, Shalane is their overall
Coach.
Final answer, coach. But yeah. Shalane and Jerry have probably the same mindset of what's going on. So
yeah.
Because Oregon women, this was really big for them to podium. Mm-hmm. They ended up getting fourth. And these two, you know, second and fourth place finishes in 1500 combined with their throwing is why they were able to get that podium position.
Yeah.
All right, let's go over to the next event. So next event, steeple.
Okay,
your favorite event.
Yeah.
Is it? I just said that.
It's a great event.
She runs pretty quick. 9:25.
Marquez, yeah, they were talking about what does this mean for USA's. So it could be pretty interesting going forward.
I mean, USA's is interesting because Courtney Frerichs, mm-hmm. has she run yet?
I don't think so. She maybe hasn't run a steeple. You keep asking me these questions with a laptop right in front of you.
I don't think she's run yet. I'm going to Google that right now. World Athletics, Courtney Frerichs.
I'm going to do it faster than you on my phone.
No, I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it. Hold up. Loading.
I spelled her name wrong.
Yeah. No, she's run a 1500.
That's what I said. She's hadn't run a steeple.
And she's DNF'd a 5K. But she hasn't run a steeple.
She hasn't run a steeple. Yeah. Literally what I said.
But she ran a 1500 and 418. So there's the what used to be like the hardest team to make because you had Frerichs, Coburn.
It was the most chalk team out there. Frerichs, Coburn, Quigley. Now it could be Waymit, Marquezich, and I'm blanking on that.
I know who you're thinking.
Constian. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it opens it up to a bunch of people potentially, right? So it's but yeah, getting back to this race, Marquezich, I mean, won comfortably.
Yeah, she closed in 1:13. Mm-hmm. Second place closed in 1:21.
Yeah.
So I thought Kaylee McCabe would be more in it because McCabe has shown that she has a great like 3K speed and can kick well. So I thought it was going to be McCabe versus Markovic battle, but I thought it was going to be closer. I wasn't expecting a 5-second win. I thought there was going to be a little bit kind of similar to what we saw in the men's steeple with Rooks and Hamilton, but Markovic just...
Well, that ended up being one-sided towards the end, too.
Yeah.
Steeple, they go for it. Yeah. There's no drama involved. They just go out there and try to crush their opponent.
And it was pretty close. I mean, because Markovic was not in the lead going into the final lap.
Right, but put 5 seconds on.
Yeah, 5 seconds.
That's...
So it makes it... The result makes it seem like it was like a domination from start to finish, but really it was a domination of the final lap.
Right. Clearly she had a lot there, which I think bodes well for when she gets into a race with a bunch of other fast athletes and she can just hang along for the ride. So yeah, I'm interested to see what happens in that women's steeple at USA's. Next up.
Women's 100 hurdles, which I thought was going to be a hard event to pick because there's three women all equally, in my opinion, favored. But the final time, 12:25, I don't care how much wind you're putting on that. That is quick for 100 meter hurdles. Akira Nugent, Arkansas, Jamaican native, 12:25. I call it the all conditions world lead, which you don't believe in.
You don't think
there's such thing as an all conditions world lead. That is a thing.
It's not a thing.
How is it not a thing?
It's not a thing.
Let's
focus on that.
These are the bluest shoes on the table. You're saying that's not a thing? They are the bluest shoes on the table.
It was a great race from Nugent, and that whole top three between her, Masai Russell, and Elia Armstrong. I think if you ran the race 10 times, you come up with
a different combination.
I mean, you'd have, you know, one person wins three, one person wins three, the other one runs four. But Nugent's put up some incredible marks over the past couple of years. The wind became a theme, though, at this point in the race when we get into the women's 100 and the women's 200 as well, too. But, yeah, I mean, Nugent can definitely make the Jamaican team. Masai Russell.
She could win Worlds.
And Elia Armstrong could make the U.S. team. So there's a lot here going for the...
She could win
looking
Worlds.
Towards national championships.
12:25, man. That is fast.
Yeah.
As some say, it's the all conditions world lead.
Yeah, I'm still not going to let you claim that that's a thing. Could she win Worlds? Yeah, she could win Worlds, for sure. She could win Worlds. I mean, Camacho Quinn, I think, is the big favorite still.
Camacho Quinn just lost.
Camacho Quinn's still the big favorite. But Nugent, I think, will be in the mix. It's a tough team to make in Jamaica, too.
Amazon won last year, and she was like... She was not dominating the regular season.
Yes, lots of people can win.
I think if you have 12:25 in your back pocket, you can win Worlds.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
Yeah. But this lived up to it, the hype of what we thought this race would be, just tracking it all year. We thought it would be those three. And it was.
Next up, women's 100. We knew Julian was going to win it. We were wondering if she was going to break the collegiate record. She does, but it doesn't have the wind legal wind. She runs 10.72, which is matches her season's best, but 2.3 wind. She loses the record on wind. Sha'Carri Richardson broke the record on that track in 2019 when she ran 10.75 with legal wind. Not legal today, but still 10.72. You look at her resume now at the 100 meters. She's run a bunch of 10.7s. She's run more 10.7s than anyone else in the world this year.
Yeah. This is funny because I knew two things going in that were certainly going to happen. And I was just waiting on the third. I knew Julian Offwood would win. I knew it would be under 10.75. I was just waiting for that wind number. Yeah. And it was annoying because they called this thing up too. And then I wondered, oh man, what if, and because the wind was going pretty hard, I was like, oh, maybe the wind will die down for this next minute when they get them back in the blocks and they fire the gun and it will change the record book forever. But it didn't. I think it actually was. It was less windy the second time than the first time. So I think if they had a fair start on the first one, it still would have been wind aided. But yeah, 72 equals her season's best, although it was wind aided, wins by a lot. She just looks so locked in. I talked to her after about how much she has left this year, and she said she thinks she still has a lot. I know Coach Flo mentioned that there's still stuff in practice that they haven't really gotten to yet. I think they went into this outdoor season with the mindset that NCAAs, we want to win it. It's awesome. It's really important. But we have other goals that we want to check off, and we want to be really good at Budapest. And remember, she was one of those people that got DQ'd for having too good of a start in Eugene. So she didn't have a good World Championships experience last time. She wants to have a better World Championships experience this time. And she mentioned some technical things that she wanted to fix and she thinks she can fix. And yeah, I mean, could she get into 10.6s? No one is saying, no, there's no way she can get into 6. And if she can get into 10.6, she can win.
Yeah.
She can win the whole thing. Not saying she's the favorite, not saying it's guaranteed, but she has a chance to win the whole thing.
Who's the favorite then?
Right now, it's probably Richardson.
It can't be someone who's never been to the world stage is the favorite.
Well, I mean, Alfred's been, but it's under a much different circumstance. Richardson has to qualify through trials and things like that. So that's a little bit
different. You look at times. Richardson, this is all condition times. Also, it wasn't an all conditions world lead.
So you were wrong?
Because Sha'Carri Richardson ran 10.57 with a 4.1.
No, you were saying Nugent was an all conditions
Nugent. Yeah, okay.
You can't even remember your bad take.
So Sha'Carri's run 10.57.
I know the numbers.
No, listen.
I understand the numbers.
No, hear me out. Sha'Carri's run 10.57. Alford's run 10.72, 10.72, 10.74, and then Richardson 10.75, 10.76. So the six fastest times run are by those two athletes. And Alford is in the 2, 3, 4 spot of those six fastest times.
Yep.
So you replace Alford with Shelly Ann Fraser Price and those exact times, everyone's gonna be like, Shelly's got it, right?
Of course. Because she's Shelly Ann Fraser Price. That's different.
I mean, he's a college athlete, doesn't have the world champions experience, and Richardson hasn't ever even been to a world championship senior meet. So
yeah.
But the two best runners right now have no finalist resume to their name.
Correct.
Which is wild.
Yeah, 100%. Maybe it's Sharika Jackson. Maybe
also, Edric Floral said post-race that Alford is going to be focusing on the 100 at Worlds.
Yeah, she likes it more.
She likes it more. Less running.
But she's gotten really good at the 200.
But she likes it more.
So. Hey, before we go any further, though.
We're going to talk about the bluest shoes on the table?
We are. Tracksmith, they're the Elliot Runners. They're sponsoring the pod. They did apparel. Now they do shoes.
The shirts too.
Let me give you some stats.
You can give some info. Shoe stats presented by Kevin.
Neutral everyday trainer featuring a 2-part supercritical PBAC system with a softer, thicker insole and a firmer midsole to mimic the feel and responsiveness of soft, natural surfaces. Talked about the stack height before. Shoe fits true to size, has a medium width. Got all the sizes. Men's 9 weighs 9.2 ounces. Women's 7 weighs 8 ounces. So they're very lightweight.
So if I do this like a million times.
Gordon is lifting up the shoe.
That if you're will not equal watching. Like one bench press.
Yeah. They're called the Elliot Runner. The website is tracksmith.com. Recommend them. I've run in them. You've been running in them as well. You want to tell them some times?
And I'm keeping them clean.
You want to tell them some times? How fast you've been running?
Okay, here's the thing. I am
Gordon's been running some 200s in him. Let's just say that.
Yeah, I've been running, but I don't want
to. He's been taking the trail to the trail feel of the shoe to the track, and he's been ripping around.
As you know, I retired from running 2 years ago.
Yeah, you don't have to say the times. Just say how comfortable you were in there.
I felt comfortable.
Good,
but but now I'm going back on the track. Unfortunately, I didn't want to, but you know. I just saw. I was like, "Let's run some fast twos."
And you did.
It feels good to run a 200, man.
You were inspired by NCAAs.
I was.
How was your transition off the curve into the straight?
Oh, it was great.
It's good.
Yeah, I felt myself.
A lot of people struggle with that, but you didn't.
Yeah,
because you were in the Elliott Runners. Tracksmith.com. We thank them for sponsoring the pod. Comments? We have any comments you want to get to? You haven't been looking at the page.
Someone said Jasmine Camacho Quinn didn't lose. That was a tie with Alicia Johnson. On the game said that. I didn't know that. I thought it was a loss. My bad. People are saying, I'm bad at this. You're better at reading. How about I do this?
Why don't we just do one?
Because
I don't be like leaning the whole time.
Look at that. Problem solved. You're in charge.
Well, all in the game, just killing the.
You're in charge. I'll just hold on to the shoes. I'll read the shoes. You seen anything?
Nah. I'm looking. You got to scroll sometimes too.
I don't know, man.
All right.
I'm not a good comment reader. Should we just do the next event?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do the next event.
Whoa.
Yeah. See, this is why.
Take it back.
I'm going to take it back.
It's your laptop. Just stop asking me for very specific times and places when you have the laptop.
Okay.
What are we up to now?
Oh, we're into the women's 400. Okay. So, Brandon Wilson, the other athlete.
Why don't we do the 400 and the 400s together? That would make sense.
Yeah. Of course. It was going to be Brenton Wilson versus Adeleke. Talitha Diggs was a sub-50 runner. Also, the other Arkansas runners were good. Turns out, Wilson, though, runs well. She still runs 49.6, but Adeleke has a race of her career. Mm-hmm. Runs 49.2, huge PB, facility record, meet record. Not the collegiate record that Brenton Wilson ran at SECs by 0.07 faster, but still 49.2. Adeleke gets the win. We thought like it was all about the double for Wilson, and then she doesn't get the first one, and now there's no double at all. Same thing with Kaylin Tui, no double from winning the 1500. But first, let's talk a little bit about Adeleke's win here. 49.2, that puts you in a different tier, in my opinion. Obviously, she's been a 49-second runner. She's ran well indoors. I think she had the collegiate record for like a hot second indoors as well.
Yeah, an hour and a half or something.
For like an hour and a half. And then, was it Diggs took it back? I think Diggs took it.
Thought Wilson got it back.
No, Diggs took it, and then Wilson took it.
Got it.
Yeah. But 49.2, that's moving. That's medalist type running.
Oh, 100%. And we've talked about Wilson has been the main story. She won it indoors. She's been getting those fast times. But really, this sort of reminds me now of the 200 last year for the women, where you had Steiner and you had Ofili, and we were saying these are just two generational talents at the same time in the same event. This really becomes a story of the women's 400 this year. And it's about Adeleke. It's about Wilson. It's about Diggs doing what she's done as well. So credit to Adeleke. This time, I thought was possible based on what she did at prelims. But you're still coming out number two in history, only to Brenton Wilson's time. We know how many great women's 400-meter runners have been in the NCAA over the years. So she went up a level. She needed to go up a level, and she did go up a level. She's got an incredibly bright future. She had done the 4x1 before this. Still got it done, running at home.
Yeah, she didn't have the 4x4 either, too, because they got DQ'd in the prelims.
Right.
So this was her last race. She didn't have like another thing to think about. Oh, I got the 4x4 next. She was putting all of her eggs into this individual 400
basket. Yeah, and I thought she was tremendous. And again, I don't think a 49.2 from her surprised me. The thing obviously that surprised me is Wilson. I thought she would be near her collegiate record mark of 49.13. If she was, man, that would have been a super close race down the home stretch. But Adeleke just had more that final 100. I thought Wilson would be able to close. She's closed like that in the past, and she wasn't able to. So all credit to Adeleke. She ran amazing at the most important point of the year and got the win.
Yeah, and then Brenton Wilson, 49.64, still a good time, but you could tell it took a lot out of her.
Of course.
I saw her in between
events.
This race and the 400 hurdles. She was very tired. She had a little bit of a limp because she was talking about potential shin injury that she was
dealing with. She said she's been battling shin injuries all year.
Yeah.
And both of them had like a sleeve on one of her shins.
She just looked very like slow and exhausted. And I imagine being exhausted after running 49.6, but also adding not getting the win.
Mm-hmm.
Now knowing, you got to be kidding me. I got to run a 400 hurdle now and 20 minutes later.
Yeah.
Just kind of reset the whole tone for Brynn Wilson. And you saw that come to fruition in that 400 hurdles where she falls and fades all the way down to seventh place. And doesn't get the win. If you want to put up the 400 hurdles results, Tyler, you could tell that she bit off more than she could chew.
Well, I mean, she did it. She had done it with 35 minutes because that was the last time she did it. 25 minutes in NCAA championship setting is harder, right? The 10 minutes matters. I think that's part of it. I don't know what else went into it because you'd think, all right, well, the first race, she'd go faster than she did in the prelims. And she didn't, right? Because the first race, she's not impacted by the last one. But maybe it was a cumulative toll of all of it. I'd like to say this. I love that she went for it. I think it's awesome that she went for it. And I know everybody's going to judge and everybody's going to remember the NCAA championships, and that defines the whole season because that's the nature of the sport. And in many cases, that is true because a lot of athletes and coaches, you know, they just do the bare minimum throughout the regular season to get to the NCAA championships. Brynn Wilson did not do that.
No.
Brynn Wilson took every opportunity to show us how awesome she was this year, and that is what we should remember about the season. Yeah, she didn't get the double. She didn't get it done. She didn't get an individual title outdoors, but that does not take away from how ridiculous some of her doubles were this year and how awesome the regular season was. I didn't get a chance to talk to her afterwards, so I don't know what it was. I don't know. Again, was it the cumulative toll of the fatigue? Was it just the less rest going from 35 minutes down to 25 minutes? Or even look at SECs, it was over an hour.
Yeah.
I looked up the SEC schedule this morning. It was over an hour. That's obviously a huge bit of difference. Again, doesn't explain that the first race being slower, but it does explain, that second race.
And it wasn't 25 minutes. It was actually 24 minutes and 17 seconds.
Right.
I timed the exact time when she crossed the finish line to when she started the 400 hurdles. It was only 24 minutes and 17 seconds.
Yeah, and there's a reason why this double hasn't been attempted. And you look at the two people we thought who could double that didn't, the high-profile doubles in Tui and Wilson, and they were doing things that people hadn't done before.
Yeah.
You know, Alfred is able to do it, but the one and two double... It's set up for doubling. It's just a different sort of approach that you take
also,
to that.
It's only 100 and 200 meters.
Right.
It's not 400 where you get into
Even on the men's side, Kai Robinson, 5 and 10, all right, is separated by... there's a reason why those doubles are common, and there's a reason why uncommon doubles don't get attempted that often or at all. Or if they do, they ultimately aren't successful. So I just want to tip my cap to Brynn Wilson. I thought that was awesome that she did it. Awesome that she went for it. I hope she gets a full recovery. I hope we see her at USA's, and I hope she continues to do stuff like this. In the pre-race press conference, I asked the coaches to put into context what she's doing. And that was, Bucknum, Floreal, Holloway, and Kitley, who were at the pre-race press conference. And something that Coach Flo said that I thought was interesting was like the courage that it takes to do it. And he said how rare that is, even amongst elite NCAA athletes who are some of the fastest and best track and field athletes in the entire world, like the courage to go out and do it. And I think the courage to come back even after you came up short and still go for it shows a lot about what Wilson is made of. And listen, I just hope long-term she's able to rebound and get out there because it was so exciting just to see all the follow along all season. And even after she did the quarter and came up short, wondering whether or not she'd come back for the 400 hurdles. And that's a testament to her that we were even saying, I think she got this. I think she can still get the 400 hurdles. Because most people, 25 minutes in between, you just got second and a quarter. We would have been like, oh man. There's no shot.
On three Cancun. 1, 2, 3 Cancun.
They'd have been out.
Yeah.
Maybe they would have been out. But she was 25 minutes.
24 minutes and 17 seconds.
24 minutes and 17 seconds. Like, that's a... it's a all-out quarter. Most people can't catch their breath in 24 minutes.
It's an episode of The Office.
Yeah.
With no commercials.
Yeah. It was not meant to be done, and she had done it before, and this time it didn't work out, but it doesn't take away from the attempt, I don't think.
One thing I was thinking about, I was kind of asking you in the mix zone. Obviously, Adeleke in that race, change. She still ran 49.6 in that 400, right?
Right. So if imagine, she wasn't there.
If she wasn't there.
Right.
And yeah. she runs the exact same time. So same effort, same time. But now she's going into this 24 minutes of rest with the win in her mind and be like, I'm halfway to pulling it off. Would that mental change been able to give her just that little bit of difference in that 400 hurdles to not fade to seventh and actually go to an even newer non-reached ability
yeah.
because you know that you're within grasp of doing something incredible, that she might have won that 400 hurdles if she won the 400 with the 49.6.
So I asked two athletes who doubled pretty much that same question, or it came up in two athletes that doubled. Now it was different circumstances. It wasn't 25 minutes, but Maya Ramson, who was doing the 15 and the 5, she talked about how she preferred a short rest as opposed to a long rest because she didn't have time to think about like the amount of time that it would take, right? And she said East prelims, she had more time. So just like kind of you like sitting with your last result and before you get out there. And then I talked to Jasmine Moore about it because she got third in the triple jump and then came back, or sorry, third in the long jump and then came back and won the triple jump. And I said, hey, does it impact you? I know mentally everyone's like, okay, it's going to change how you approach that second event. But physically, like, did you feel more tired the next day because you had a 3 by your name instead of a 1? And she said, yeah, it does. Like, that part of it does factor in because there's just that less – there's, like, less adrenaline. And this is me adding on a little bit here of just, like, there's not that same – that boost that you get of I won, I did what I'm supposed to. And then maybe if you're human, some doubts creep in. You know,
like if you're human, I think they're all human.
No, I'm saying like we forget that they are human and some doubts can creep in and they're not machines. And then when you start having some doubts, it becomes a little bit more difficult. So, yes, short answer to your question. I think you're right. She was going against the number 2 400 woman in history in the NCAAs in the race. And if she wasn't there and she just ran she ran 49.6, would she have won every title except for the Athing Mo?
Probably.
And this title?
Yeah.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
So you put it like that. Because we talked about – so here's
what's – it's like Anna Hall when she lost the 400 hurdles because she was going up against Britt Wilson.
Yeah. So here's the thing that's interesting because we talked about, oh, it's good that the quarter is first and then the 400 hurdles is second because the harder one is first. It would have been interesting now knowing the result if it was flipped. 400 hurdles are
she
first.
She could have like jogged she's fresh. 54 and then
yeah, if she gets through – it still would have been a crazy tall task, but then I think she at least would have had the, okay, I got one.
Yeah.
Now let's see if we can go make history with two.
Snowball effect.
Right.
Get yeah. The easy one
real.
First.
I think it's real.
Let's move it over to the women's 800. Michaela Rose gets her sub 2 facility record, runs 159.83. She said that she won the collegiate record, which is 157.
Yeah.
But she's only a sophomore. She might have a few more years to get to that mark, maybe in 2024, 2025. But kind of gets the win here. 3 other women run 2 flat. Not much of a surprise, I would say. She was the heavy favorite coming in. She had the lead at 400, held it on, runs 58.4 for her opening 4, and then 101.3 for her second. The fastest close was the Oklahoma State athlete.
Galvadite,
who closed in 60.5.
Yeah.
With a big PB of 2 flat.
Winning as a favorite, though, is hard. We've just talked about that. And winning as a favorite in the 800, I think, can be especially hard because of the blend of tactics that are involved and necessary to pull it off. And you don't have room for margin of error. It's not like a 5,000. If you screw up strategically, you have time to correct the mistake. The 800, you don't. We've seen people go out early in an 800-meter championship setting because of that. So I think what Rose did was awesome. Yeah, I think she was – she went out pretty hard, but she always goes out pretty hard. I thought maybe she is going to run 158, 157, but still a big win. I'm excited to see what she does post NCAA season. You mentioned 3 women at 2 flat with Seymour and Willis getting third and fourth. It was a solid, it was a really good year for the women's 800 overall. This was a good competition. Because you could even, I mean, any other, like Willis, indoor champion, right? Like, and she gave a good post-race interview, but dealing with her first year at Stanford and all the ups and downs that came with it. But, I mean, Claire Seymour's won before, too. So, it was a star. It was a packed women's 800 field.
Moving over to the 200, Julian Alfred pulls off the triple, She won the 4x1, she won the 100, and she gets this 200 in a collegiate record mark, but it was windy, so Abby Steiner's win legal 21.8 stands. She runs 21.73, maybe her last 200 of her career, maybe?
No, not her career.
But like 21.73 for Alfred, very impressive. It's very fast for someone who hates the event to still run 21.73. Gets the win over Mackenzie Long, who runs also sub 22, runs 21.88. Good run for Long. Texas goes 1-3-5 in that event. Fleetha Diggs got seventh. She was coming back from the 400. But yeah, Alfred, it was the Alfred show. She wins the 60 indoors, wins the 200, wins the 4x1, wins the outdoor 100, wins the outdoor 200.
Yeah.
You can't expect any more. Going 5-4-5. She literally is the Wendy's 5-for-5.
And she won the Bowerman with this performance.
Yeah.
She probably would have had it anyway, but this
not necessarily. Again, if Wilson did her thing, maybe.
Well, no. I'm by that point, we knew Wilson wasn't getting the double order. So we have another situation where we knew the winner. I knew the time. I don't know if you knew the time, but I knew it was going to be collegiate record.
Yeah.
And you're just waiting for the win to show up, and it goes plus 2.5. And I went, ah!
No.
Darn it. But yeah, dominant performance for her. Shout out to Mackenzie Long, Ole Miss, gets under 22 seconds. She was awesome at Texas Relays, too. She talked about that afterwards, just the affinity she has for the track. One correction, Seymour, I said, had won a title. She got second indoors 2 years ago. For some reason, I thought she won. But that women's 800 was still stacked.
You need to do your research.
So I did it right now. I don't remember hearing you say that.
I wasn't paying attention.
I have deep respect for the audience, so I wasn't going to gloss over an error. A lot of transparency on this pod. But getting back to the 200, I think she should run more 200s. I know she doesn't want to, but she's really good in the 200 as well, too. You know, have multiple opportunities to
get
do
medals.
It. Maybe not this season because she's got a lot of races under her belt. Maybe just focus on the 100, but
Olympics, she definitely should do the bubble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a ridiculous time. And
she doesn't have like a 4x1. She needs a.
And just because we were in the 21.5 era.
Doesn't mean it's always going to stay there.
Yeah, exactly. So it could get back to where 21.7 is. That could win you a lot of titles.
Yeah.
And I think she's proven this year she's got that. I mean, that 60 to 200 range is impressive for Julian Alfred.
Very impressive. Moving over to the 5K.
5,000 meters.
Which we thought was going to be a Tui versus Valby. Tui going for the double. Tui ends up scratching based off of what happened in the 1500. So it became really Valby's show. There was no one who was going to challenge her. And she ran the race to ensure that. She was like, I'm not going to let this be the way the men's race played out, where it was like a 14 flat pace.
Yeah.
She made it honest. Honest, given the weather.
Yeah.
It's not like they were running 15-10 pace, but 15:30-57 for the win. When did she make her move? She probably made her move. She was trying to figure out when she started separating. So she was with the group through 2K. I would say probably around the 3K mark, like 2,600 meters to 3,000 meters is when she – so basically after 3K is when she started to like, all right, we're making a second move. That started thinning it out and ultimately gave her that separation, which she just held on to. And it was kind of a boring race when you think about it, because it was kind of like, yep, she's the best runner right here. Yep, she has a 10-meter lead. Yep.
It just stayed there.
It's not going anywhere. Yep, she's going to win.
And then it extended a little bit the last couple laps. I thought for a second Kemboy and Venters would be able to work together and close that gap, but – Valby, credit to her too. Great year, despite all the coaching changes and injuries. I think she said she runs 2 to 3 days a week, and then the rest of it's just cross training for her.
She said that last year too.
The same thing, dealing with the same sort of stuff. So she's only running a couple days a week, but still able to
so
do it.
So she's kind of like us.
What was her last? What was her final quarter? What did she close in?
So we don't have the exact final quarter. Oh yeah,
we do.
110.
Yeah, what was the lap before that? What was she hitting before
111.
The lap before that,
114.
Yeah, so it was interesting because she built up this lead, but she also kept something in reserve.
Yeah.
Of, okay, if I get challenged, I'll be able to kick, which is why it was a dominant performance. When you already have the lead and then you're able to close that well, then it just goes to show that you are the class of the field, and that was Parker Valby. So not a surprising – if you had said, hey, after cross country, Valby's going to win – an outdoor title, people would be like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But then everything since then pointed in the opposite direction.
Because of Tui.
Well, because Tui and Valby not running that much either. Sure. And then now we get the result that back in November would have looked realistic. So, yeah, Valby, NCAA champion. Her first one. She got one.
Women's 4x4, Arkansas won. Wasn't really much to that one. No.
Lance Harder's last race.
Fastest split. Someone ran 49:48. That was USC, who is not on the list of who their anchor was. How is that possible? The one person who had the fastest split, their name isn't on the list.
Gordon getting upset. With yes. Yeah. Texas A&M second. Ohio State third. But, yeah, Texas wasn't in it because they got DQ'd in the prelim, but they didn't need to get this race because they pretty much doubled it. I mean, we did the math. It's like even off, they didn't even offer its points if you worked it out. That's how good they were. They won by 40.
Yeah. Ridiculous. All right. Let's talk about the curse.
Thank you. I want to talk about the curse. So we came into this meet with a lot of people we'd say were locks, at least to get one title, and even some double locks that we felt pretty good about. Now, it's hard to say it's a double lock, but there were eight people at the press conference, and the press conference isn't always the biggest favorites. They like to spread around the events. But this year, it was a good indication of the favorites. So we already talked about this on the men's side. They had Garland there, who didn't win. They had Alekna, who didn't win. They had Guttormson, who didn't win. And they had Hibbert, who did win. So one out of the four won. On the women's side, it was a very clear four, and it was great that they got all four. Jasmine Moore, who got one, but not two. Tui, who didn't get any. Wilson, who didn't get any. And then Julian Alfred, who did get both. So out of the eight, only three of them got titles out of the eight.
And two of them didn't lose.
Exactly. And I just thought that was interesting. Like, I can't go back historically and know who was, at all these events, like press conferences, to know.
Is it like being on the cover of Madden now?
I don't know. It was, because if you told me before, like, what would have been the odds that there was only three winners out of that eight? It would have been ridiculous. Yeah. Even the women's side, like, you couldn't have.
It's like Wilson not winning the 400 hurdles? You crazy? Come on.
Yeah, it made me, like, reevaluate everything, because I went back and thought, hey, did we just, like, hype this up too much? And then I went back and looked at their results throughout the season. Look back at all the women throughout the season of that group, and just like, no, this is what I thought. We thought Moore was vulnerable in the long jump, right? Because Smith was great this year, and that ultimately ended up playing out. But all the other ones, we didn't forecast, and I don't think anybody really forecasted, because we thought that they'd be able to get it done. And with Tui, it was, there's this big gap or between her and everybody else. But it's going to be a little bit tougher because it's NCAAs, and there's enough time off that she'll be able to get it done. Like, that's what we thought. But, yeah, I guess it just shows you the unpredictability of it all. And as I said before, there's a reason the 1 and the 2 double and the 5 and the 10 double are in play. And listen, if they would have brought a fifth person to the men's press conference, who do you think it would have been? Probably Dylan Jacobs.
Yeah.
Right? And then, like, that would have been the fifth. And it's just another one where upset.
That's a good point.
I thought it was interesting. And on the men's side, I mean, the men's ones were surprising, too. But the women's, it just looked like you were going to have people that you'd be talking about, you know, doing things that are going to go down in the history books. And it didn't happen.
It did not happen.
Yeah. I mean, it shows how good the NCAA is, too. And it shows why history is what it is when it comes to those doubles.
So tomorrow we have a track meet live on Flow Track.
Another track meet.
Continental Tour.
Heard of it?
Turku. Finland.
Love it.
Gotta love it. We got some athletes coming through in the men's 100.
I hope so.
You have Charleston, who's having a low-key great season as a U.S.
Kevon
athlete.
Kevon Charleston. Not low-key for me. I've been on the Charleston bandwagon for a while now.
Benjamin Azamade from Ghana, and Reese Prescott, so it should be good. Men's 800, you got Benjamin Robert, who's coming off of that 143, and Clayton Murphy is going to be in that mix, so that should be exciting. Steeplechase, Skip, I don't know. Skip, sorry. The best guys runs 810.
That's pretty good.
But
Who is it?
Abraham Semi of Ethiopia.
Okay. Hey, you bringing up Azamati, though, made me think about Division II. And it made me think that Cordell Tinch has got to be in the top three now. You agree?
100%. Yeah. It's going to be...
Hibbert's going to win.
Hibbert, Tinch.
and then that third spot's open. It could be one of the guys who didn't win NCAAs but had a great season. It could be a Lechner, Guttormson, or Garland. Or you could go who had a great NCAAs, Neugebauer. You could talk about Kai Robinson. Or we talked about the indoor-outdoor guys, right? There was the guys that we looked up who had won.
Jordan Geist.
Yeah. There's some field eventers that Kerry get McLeod. In the road. Yeah, as well. So could be, women's side, Alford's going to get it. Now it's a tough thing to decide who the podium is.
Like Jasmine Moore.
Second and three. Yeah, Jasmine Moore's got to be there. And then I think it's got to be Britton, doesn't it? It's got to be Britton.
Not Tui. Tui broke some records, man.
So did Britton. I don't know. It's funny how it's just you think the debate is solved.
I think they
just
give it to Tui.
It just brings up another whole debate. I just think historically you got to lean Wilson. But either way, it's going to be Alford and Hibbert. With Tinch, D2 athletes are eligible. I said this last year under a different context. Remember when we were debating who makes it? And one of the people that people were debating whether or not it should go would be Cameron Rogers. And I said, if Cameron Rogers doesn't get invited into the top three, then you might as well in the future just say this award is not eligible for hammer throwers.
Yeah.
She's not, because you couldn't have done anything more than she did.
Yeah.
I feel the same way about D2 athletes.
If Cordell Tinch
doesn't get in. Now, it'd be one thing if on the men's side you had six guys just go absolutely crazy at NCAA Outdoors, but that didn't happen. So if the award is open to Division II athletes, then Tinch needs to be in the top three if you look at his season. That is my Bowerman analysis after
Love it.
Outdoors.
Loving your analysis.
Do you agree or disagree?
I agree. Yeah. To agree.
Okay. Tinch should be in there.
I agree.
Yeah.
I'm not fighting.
I thought even before the meet, he had a claim, and then everything broke it's right
Hibbert,
for him to
Tinch,
be.
Tinch and either Geist or McLeod.
You're big on the indoor-outdoor winners.
Yeah. However, they are sometimes big on only doing outdoor. Where they?
What do you mean only doing outdoor?
You know who got sixth in the indoor 60 meters?
Not Chez, because he didn't run
Jerrion Lawson, the year he won the Bowerman. He got sixth in the indoor 60 the year he won the Bowerman. So, indoor performance, that's why Kai Robinson maybe get it, because the 5K, 10K, they'll be like, whatever.
Yeah.
Who cares what he did indoors? Didn't matter for when they didn't give it to Chezarek. But that's
what about, here's a name for bridge. You. You want another name?
Yeah.
You ready for this? Romaine Beckford, South Florida.
Indoor, outdoor, high jump.
Yeah, exactly. Also did the javelin at the American Outdoor Championships.
Okay. This podcast.
No, but seriously, it says javelin. Is that accurate?
Probably. Maybe. Okay, then did he get points?
I mean, it says he got third.
So, yeah. Why would he lie? It's Tiefers.
Okay, he needs to be invited.
For throwing the javelin at this conference champ?
Yes.
The javelin. Oh, do we need to get a...
Discus, too. This was last year. Discus and javelin.
Maybe he's a decathlete.
I'm seeing just a lot of discus, javelin, high jump. He did a heptathlon in 2021.
Yeah, he's a decathlete. That's not that crazy anymore.
To
throw the javelin and jump, decathletes do that every single time.
How many decathletes have won the high jump at NCAAs? Like, that's incredible.
I mean, I'm sure that happens. There's decathletes who can win the long jump at NCAAs. There's decathletes who can win
different event.
A 400. Like, different decathletes event. Are freaks.
No, decathletes have never won the 400 at NCAAs.
They could about? If they wanted to. I bet you Ashadine could have won the 400.
They almost won the 400. Definitely could have won the long jump. What did the chat say? Romaine Beckford, are we on this?
I don't know, man. They're not even listening to you. Chat doesn't listen. Maybe I need changes
chat.
To
what
all chat, live chat instead of top chat.
No, you just... I got my three.
Jackson.
Hibbert, Tinch, Romaine Beckford.
Okay.
The javelin at conference.
I'm doing Hibbert, Tinch,
and... then you're going McLeod?
And Jordan Geist.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Kai Robinson?
I refuse to decide.
Okay.
All right. That's it. That's the podcast.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back Monday.
Shout out to Tyler.
Thank you, Tyler, coming in hot to sub in for... producing. We'll be back Monday 12:30 reacting to all the weekend meets, and
subscribe,
like, do your thing, tell a friend. We appreciate you. Track is always back. Peace.